What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 230. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about using IVIG for refractory HIT, answer the drug information question, do some quinolones have lower QTC prolongation risk than others, and share a resource for searching FDA reports of adverse reactions to medications. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode230. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Members of my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy will have access to my new masterclass on vasopressor use in the ICU starting Thursday, October 5th. To learn more about becoming a member of the Academy, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. The article for this episode is titled IVIG for Treatment of Severe Refractory Heparin-Induced Thrombocytopenia. The lead author is Anand Padmanabhan. This was published in the journal Chest, September 2017. Heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, or HIT, is sometimes complicated by severe thrombocytopenia and thrombosis. Use of anticoagulants, such as argatroban, in severe HIT may increase bleeding risk. This is more likely in patients who have a prolonged course of the disease. Other than non-heparin anticoagulants, there are no other established therapies for severe HIT. The authors described three patients with HIT who had severe thromboembolism and prolonged thrombocytopenia that was refractory to standard treatment, but who achieved an immediate and sustained response to intravenous immune globulin therapy. Immunoassay testing was performed to investigate the mechanism of action of IVIG. A 47-year-old man with severe persistent HIT, DVT, PE, atrial thrombus, and platelets of only 13,000 was treated with 1 g/kg/day of IVIG on 2 consecutive days. Platelet counts increased to 55,000, 108,000, and 164,000 over the next 3 days. A 73-year-old man with severe persistent HIT, PE, and platelets of 25,000 was given IVIG 1 g/kg/day on 2 consecutive days. Platelet counts increased to 101,000, 145,000, and 177,000 over the next 3 days. And finally, the third case, a 72-year-old man with severe persistent HIT, DVT, and platelets of 16,000 was given 2 doses of IVIG 1 g/kg 2 days apart. Platelet counts increased to greater than 50,000 and 100,000, respectively, within 24 hours of each dose of IVIG. The authors, through immunoassay testing, found that IVIG inhibits HIT antibody-mediated platelet activation. All three patients did well on long-term anticoagulation therapy with direct oral anticoagulants. The authors concluded, these studies suggest that IVIG treatment should be considered in patients with HIT who have severe disease that is refractory to standard therapies. Now, further research is needed before IVIG can become routine in patients with HIT. However, in patients with severe prolonged HIT that appears refractory to standard treatment, IVIG may be of potential benefit. I would consider using the dose described in this case series of IVIG 1 g/day for 2 consecutive days. The drug information question for this episode is, do some quinolones have lower QTC prolongation risk than others? And the answer is yes. Fluoroquinolones prolong the QT interval by blocking voltage-gated potassium channels, especially the rapid component of the delayed rectifier potassium current. Blockade of these channels and prolongation of QTC occurs in a dose-dependent manner. However, the quinolones do not have equal potency when it comes to potassium channel blockade and QTC prolongation. Of the commonly used quinolones, moxifloxacin has the highest risk of QTC prolongation. Levofloxacin has a lower risk of QTC prolongation than moxi, and ciprofloxacin has an even lower risk. For more on how I evaluate QTC-related drug interactions, go to pharmacyjoe.com/episode12. And the resource for this episode is the FDA's new user-friendly search tool that improves access to data on adverse events associated with drug and biologic products. This tool is available through the FDA's Adverse Event Reporting System, and I have a link at the bottom of the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode230. The tool's been designed to make it easier for the public to access adverse event information without having to file Freedom of Information requests. I was easily able to search the database for adverse events related to medications. The database indicated whether or not an event was serious or fatal, and a general description of the reaction was provided. If you want the complete details of the reaction as they were reported to the FDA, you will still need to file a Freedom of Information request. I think this database will be most helpful for those doing pharmacy and therapeutics committee formulary presentations as a way to gather data on a medication to inform the P&T committee. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.